On the next episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes.
This is a wine episode, so today we're going to be discussing some very interesting wines. So we have, from Domaine Carneros, we have the Cuvée La Pompadour Brut Rosé.
So fancy.
The Domaine Carneros Brut 2020. The Domaine Carneros Ultra Brut 2019. The Domaine Carneros Pinot Noir Estate 2021. From Frank Family, we have the Frank Flammy Carneros Chardonnay 2022.
Flammy.
The Frank Family Napa Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. From Rutherford, Sullivan Rutherford Estate, we have the Sullivan Rutherford Estate Coeur d'Alene 2021. And our last wine is going to be the Dariush Cabernet Sauvignon 2021 25th Anniversary Release.
We'll be right back after this break. Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It's Sips, Suds, and Smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
Hey, yes, it's sipping time. Welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing.
That's true, except we don't discuss the sexy times anymore. Well, that's off the air at least.
Well, your wife doesn't discuss them at all. So
if I can't live vicariously through you guys, what's going to happen to me?
If you're living vicariously through the two other idiots at this table, you're in deep trouble, buddy.
Nobody's getting a sexy time.
So.
As for good old boys.
Yeah.
I don't think we're good. And when we started this show, I wasn't old, but I am now. Well, how long have we been doing this show?
We're in season 12.
And you and me, Bob.
Yeah. Season 12.
12 years?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God!
I could have killed you and been out of prison.
You are old.
Yeah.
So I could have killed you, buried you in the woods, and I'd be out of prison by now. I mean, I got a good clean record. I'd have done maybe they'd give me 15.
They wouldn't have caught you, man. We've got the Everglades out here. Nobody would have caught you.
Yeah, well, you and I both know that. So, well, this is our sip segment, and they're all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and anything else you can sip. So this is a wine episode. So today we're going to be discussing some very interesting wines. So we have, from Domaine Carneros, we have the Cuvée La Pompadour Brut Rosé.
So fancy.
The Domaine Carneros Brut 2020. The Domaine Carneros Ultra Brut 2019. The Domaine Carneros Pinot Noir Estate 2021.
So it doesn't all go into the champagne or sparkling wine.
Yeah, exactly. I was shocked too when I opened the box. I went, ooh.
Pine not knower.
Yeah. From Frank Family, we have the Frank Flammy Carneros Chardonnay 2022.
Flammy.
The Frank Family Napa Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. From Sullivan Rutherford Estate, we have the Sullivan Rutherford Estate Coeur d'Alene 2021.
Look at you and your French.
I'm faking it. Yeah. I had some fries for you guys come over. So yeah.
Nice.
And then our last
French
wine.
Fries.
French. Yeah. And French dressing. And to drink, Peru. Yeah. And our last wine is going to be the Dariush Cabernet Sauvignon 2021 25th Anniversary Release. So.
Sweet.
Yeah. Today does not stink. So.
Did you want to introduce our co-host today? Or should we just leave it to their imagination?
They know us by now. But go ahead, Bob.
Well, nobody knows you.
We can go around the table. So we have with us today, Brent, who's not here.
Nope.
So we have good old boy, Maury.
Good morning.
And we have good old boy, Harm.
Thanks for having me, Bob. I like wine shows.
And then we have our imaginary friend over in the other table.
Yes.
The clown with the axe. Why is he looking at me like that?
So he keeps us in line.
This is also true. So... Well, we're going to be tasting, discussing these fantastic wines, and we're going to be rating them with our Sips ratings. And since we don't have Justin for this episode to give us a really horrible impersonation of... It doesn't matter. All of his impersonations suck.
Some California dude.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just...
Is it all California? It's all California today.
I love him, but damn, son. Damn. Yeah, all California today. So we'll each take one. So, Maury, give us our first rating.
One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
Ganga Din, water.
Ganga Din, bring water. Bring water.
Harm?
Nice, dude. But what else do you have?
Hold on, our sound.
That would be two sips, yeah. Dude.
Was it two sips?
Yeah, hold on. Our soundboard just locked up. So.
Okay.
All right.
Shouldn't we have had Harm do the first one? I'm just saying.
Well, isn't that nice?
Is this? Are we working now?
We're working now.
I'm not restarting the show. Yeah.
Bob.
Thank God.
So, our three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
Interesting.
Four sips. Let's keep this one a secret. Pour ourselves another.
Well, there's only three of us, so we get all of it. That's the best part.
Five sips. Oh, my. I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh, my goodness.
Words Harm has never heard in his entire life.
You know, they make Cialis now, so I might hear it one day.
Take more than Cialis. Plastic surgeon. Yeah.
Yeah.
George Clooney mask, you know.
Take more than that.
It's amazing how quickly this show goes into the toilet sometimes.
Give you an extension.
Mm-hmm.
Maury, you want to read the first one?
Why not? It'd be my privilege. Yeah,
tell us about our first one.
I'll have what she's having.
Domaine Carneros was founded in the Carneros Appellation of Northern California by the Champagne-Tattinger family, recognizing that Carneros region of California would yield grapes of outstanding character suitable for producing world-class sparkling wines. Claude Tattinger began searching.
By the way, in America, that's Tattinger. Mm. I know it's Tattinger.
Yeah, you
know,
in America, it is.
People come in France, Oxford Tattinger all the time.
Claude Tattinger began searching for the right property to realize his dream. And in 1986, after a 13-year search, he purchased the first 130-acre vineyard in the heart of Carneros, Napa Valley. After an exhaustive search that same year, the Tattingers selected Eileen Crane as Domaine Carneros' founding winemaker. While directing the first vintage, she was also tasked with overseeing the planning and construction of the winery.
No pressure at all.
No. Crane was not only one of the industry's pioneering women, but upon her retirement, she was also the most experienced American sparkling wine producer with over 40 years to her credit. I didn't know she retired. When did she retire? Do you know?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay, well, it'd be interesting to find out. Their sparkling wines are produced in the traditional method used in Champagne, and 100% of their fruit comes from their six estate vineyards, currently comprising 400 acres. They have also worked from the beginning to push the sustainability envelope to ensure the vineyards and the land are preserved while conserving natural resources. Fish-friendly farming, Napa Green Winery, and Napa Green Land Certifications.
That's big out there. I mean, everybody, all of them. I mean, it's and you get it. I mean, there's a lot of money involved. If you're a farmer, if you're not taking care of your land.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah, they're the ones that actually do take care of the land.
She retired in 2020, by the way.
Thank you, sir.
I missed it during COVID.
The 18th century chateau-style winery completed in 1989 was architecturally inspired by the historic Chateau de Marqueterie, owned by Champagne Tattinger in France's Champagne region. The chateau houses the winery's facilities as well as the beautiful salons and expansive outdoor terraces for visitors and wine club members.
It is a stunning winery. It really is very beautiful.
Domaine Carneros Cuvée de la Pompadour Brut Rosé comes in at 12% ABV. It is 60% Pinot Noir, 40% Chardonnay, Appellation Carneros, age 18 months, in bottle, Sur Lee. This expression was named in honor of Madame de Pompadour, the grand courtesan of Louis XV, who introduced champagne to the court at Versailles, who said her favorite beverage, that champagne is the only wine women can drink and remain beautiful.
If I drink champagne, they all are beautiful. I've noticed that.
Isn't it Versailles, Kentucky?
It is
Versailles, yeah, it's Versailles Kentucky. Kentucky, yeah.
It's, yeah. But Versailles in France, because they fancy. Yeah. Yes, they fancy like that?
Mm-hmm.
So this wine has a lovely pale pink color. On the nose, you get lots of strawberry, tangerine, orange blossom, peach, and marmalade. The palate rewards you with peach, apricot, tangerine, and a hint of honey. And the finish is medium to long. It's lovely. It's delightful. This was really a delicious wine. I really enjoyed this. It's just vibrant. It's fresh. It's bright. It's just, and it's just very well made. It's delicious. Harm, what'd you think?
Well, I'd like to give like two reviews. First off, when it was cold, which is the way most people drink their champagne, I did not get any strawberry. It
just,
was all
just a hint for the listeners. We always start out with any whites or champagnes blistering cold.
Yeah, the way people drink it.
For that reason, not because most Americans do drink it very cold. And then we let it sit here as we do the show over the course of a couple of hours and let it warm up to a proper temperature.
Right,
exactly. Because we're not heathens.
And it's changed quite a bit with temperature. Mm-hmm. And we typically tend to comment on the changes with both temperature and time and aeration with oxygen. So go ahead, Harm, finish your statement.
So when it was, you know, cold, like out of the fridge, like most people will drink it, like when they bring it to you in the restaurant, unless you're at a very fancy restaurant, they're going to bring it to you too cold. I did not get any of the strawberry. It was all about tangerine and a little bit of peach. The nose was muted. And on the palate, it was a really good mousse, that fizz, the bubble, fantastic, and a nice medium finish. But as it warmed up, what Maury said, strawberries explode out of the glass.
Oh, yeah.
So beautiful strawberry, it's the red and the green part of the strawberry, that herbal note. The tangerine is still there. I'm getting a bit of peach. I have to... spitting today. I'm not drinking.
I gotta say, as much as I love, I okay with rosé wine. Rosé champagne is just a whole nother beast. It's another level.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. The flavor, the fruit just came out. I agree with you. You're allowed to interrupt. That's what we do here. The finish was medium long. I got a hint of ginger on the finish with the peach. What do you think, Bob?
I definitely got that ginger on the finish after we came down to a more civilized temperature, for sure. It's not a blinding ginger on the finish.
It's subtle. It's just, you have to suggest it to get it. It's
that slight tingle.
Yeah, exactly.
That slight little bit of tingle. But yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. And I'm with Maury. I mean, we've had some fantastic rosés on this show. The Dow Rosé, we all love
that. Freaking love that one.
Fantastic. Most rosés are not my jam. It's me personally, but rosé champagne is a completely different
animal.
Mm. And this one is absolutely delicious. And we'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we were just finishing up our thoughts on this lovely Domaine Carneros Cuvée Le Pompadour Brut Rosé. Beautiful color. Just a beautiful pale pink. But The nose on it is just so lovely. The strawberry, I'm with the guys. The strawberries really came out once it warmed up. I got a little bit when it was chilly, but as it warmed up, it exploded. Strawberries, tangerines, citrus. Absolutely beautiful nose. And on the palate, white peach, apricot. I'm with you. You get a little bit of that, the top of the strawberry.
Yeah.
I'm not getting quite the green. I'm getting that kind of white near the stem.
The white part, yeah.
Yeah. But absolutely lovely, lovely wine. So we're going to be giving the Domaine Carneros Cuvée Le Pompadour Brut Rosé a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that's going to bring us to our second wine from Domaine Carneros, which is the Domaine Carneros Brut 2020. It's 12% ABV, 62% Pinot Noir, 38% Chardonnay. Appellation is Carneros. The Vintage Brut Cuvée is the signature wine of Domaine Carneros, produced in their inaugural year of 1987. It encompasses the widest range of estate clones and vineyard blocks of the winery's collection, enhanced by a minimum of 3 years of bottle age, Surly, in the cellar before release. This is made primarily with estate-grown and green-certified grapes. It's got a beautiful, slightly golden straw color on the nose. Green apple, toasted brioche, a little bit of citrus, a little bit of lime. You get that little bit of tartness in the tip of the nose. And then on the palate, let's see.
Harm. Oh, you need more champagne?
On the palate, beautiful. Apples, brioche. Again, I'm still getting that touch of citrus. I'm getting a little bit more of the lime than I'm getting of, say, orange. That little bit of tart.
I'll take some more, too.
Well done. Very well done.
What I'd like to say is that it, again, was tight and uninspiring when it came out of the bottle, icy cold.
Yeah. Well, that's most people do that,
with
unfortunately.
Time and air and warming up, I really got the brioche and a little bit of the yeastiness that I like in an aged, sorely aged or vintage or late disgorged champagne. And I found it to be much more delicious and less bright and just young and fresh and more mature with time and temperature warming up. I really thought.
Once it came up, my score went up. Absolutely.
I disagree with you guys. I'm not getting the brioche still on the nose and it's warm.
Oh, I'm
on the palate. Well, you know what? Jeez. Now, after that fresh pour.
Hold on.
It's there. Damn. Let me do you're right.
Jedi mind trick on you. You don't need to see this wine's identification.
The fresh pour is better. To warm it up.
Yeah.
It came back. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Toasted brioche. Just that
but
butter.
But doesn't taste French to me. I know these guys are French winemakers. It doesn't taste French.
No, they taste like very good Californias. That's been my issue. I was on their list for a long time. I love Domaine Carneros. They make a great product. I think they make some of the best California sparkling wine, but it doesn't compare to their stuff out of France. Their stuff.
Different animal, you know. I mean, it's a completely different animal. But
well,
I mean,
French champagne is a unique animal.
Yeah,
and it's the only ones that they can call it that.
Yeah, but I mean, when it comes to California sparkling, I think Carneros is honestly one of the best there is.
You're probably right there.
They're always so well done, so solid, so well rounded. I've never had one where there's a hole in the palate. There's never a drop off in quality. Every year it's always the same. Every year it's always there. So,
yeah, I would say them and Schramsberg are probably the two premier houses.
That would be
for
my
California.
Other one. Yeah, that would be my other.
Everybody else would come below them. So if you're going to look for California sparkling, absolutely, I agree. Those two houses.
Schramsberg, the first California sparkling served on Air Force One or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, it was the house sparkler for, I know when Reagan was there, that became the only sparkling wine they would serve.
It predates Reagan for them. But this is really good. Mm-hmm. It's gotten quite, I cannot stress enough how important drinking this at the right temperature is.
Yeah.
Because when it was cold, it was just uninspiring. It was just nice and acidic, good bubbles, but, you know, it's a citrus bomb now with the
complexities amped up.
Exactly. Yeah. The proper temperature, the green apple, the brioche. And I wasn't getting it on the nose at all, but now it's there.
Yeah. Oh, it's, yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you, the Pompadour, when it was still cold, I thought was fantastic. It got better as it warmed. This
100%.
The regular Brut, definitely when it's too cold, it's just too closed off. But again, we do this on purpose because so many people do, you know, throw that thing in the freezer and let it sit for an hour before they pull it out. The thing is blinding cold. The glass frosts when you pour it in. It's just, it's like, guys.
It was just pure lime juice before.
Yeah.
Now it's got the complexity and interestingness.
Yeah. It's lovely. And I mean, this is their flagship. They've been doing this one for a long, long, long time. So.
And it's a great value. I don't know what the current retail is, but I would argue that it won't break the bank. And price to value, you're getting a great product for fair price.
Well, it's still more expensive than some of the entry-level California sparklers.
I didn't say that, but I agree with you. But I think for what you're getting,
for the money, I mean, if you're looking for domestic sparkling wine for the money, I don't think you're getting a better one.
I'm in retail. Domaine Carneros approaches the price of lower-end champagne from France.
Mm. Right.
So, but you can, it's well worth the money. Mm-hmm. It's definitely fantastic quality. What do we have a rating for this one, sir?
Well, we're going to be giving the Domaine Carneros Brut 2020 a well-deserved 3 sips. Solid champagne.
Yeah, that's very nice. So,
sorry, not champagne, sparkling wine, but.
It reminds you of champagne, though. It's gotten that good.
Mm-hmm. Harm, you want to tell us about the next one?
Sure thing. So, thanks, Maury. Domaine Carneros Ultra Brut 2019 is 12% ABV. It is a 54% estate-grown Chardonnay, 44% estate-grown Pinot Noir, 2% estate-grown Pinot Gris, which you could never do in Chardonnay. Pinot Gris is not allowed grape for in Champagne. It's not allowed in Champagne to use Pinot Gris. The appellation is Carneros, aged 3.5 years, and their cellars, 100% organically grown estate fruit. The color is a beautiful straw with hints of golden. Closer to light gold than straw. The nose has changed again over time. And getting pears and lime, key lime.
Now comes the bragging part. So feel free to turn your computer off.
Yeah.
Now comes the bragging part.
Twice?
Twice. Yeah.
Good. Thank you. I didn't get it earlier. There's some hay here now that's warmed up.
Hey.
Hey. There's some hay.
Guys. You asked for it. You got it.
Wonderful. Go. Thank you. I appreciate that. On the palate, let's have another taste. Mm. Beautiful mousse. This just explodes. Lots of bubbliness. Tons of green apple. I'm getting lots of crisp pears, like those, what do you call it? Asian pear?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of sweetness, which I can't place, and the ginger that was just a hint on the previous ones.
Much more.
And then great minerality here. I like this. The Ultra Brut is zero residual sugar. That's what that means. Or zero sugar added in the dosage.
Yeah.
So when they do the secondary fermentation, they're not adding more sugar.
Are they adding any dosage?
Ultra Brut generally means zero.
Zero dosage.
Or it can be up to, I think... Was it 1 gram per liter?
Yeah, I think it's like one or one and a half or two.
There are producers that do zero.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with everything you said about this. For me, although I enjoyed it, the Carneros Brut was much more enjoyable. For me, this wine was a little bit astringent, a little bit citric, a little bit acidic. It had a lot of interest to it, and it definitely improved with some temperature. I definitely got some more brioche and yeastiness on the nose, but
I didn't get it on this one. I didn't get the yeastiness, but you know what?
Just a little bit when it was super warm at the very, very, very end. I was able to get some after it really warmed up.
When it was really, really, really cold, what struck me on the finish was bitter apple peel, and that bitterness has gone away. And I'm really enjoying the flavors now.
But I agree with you. It's got much more ginger. It's definitely more tart. It's definitely more citrus. It's well made, no question. But of the two, to me, the Brut was more enjoyable today.
You like
today.
The Brut. I like the zero sugar. What about you, Bob?
I'm with Arm. This one is definitely more my jam, but the nice thing about this one is it's got that minerality, that chalkiness, that salinity that you get at the end.
It's not the same as champagne chalkiness, but it's there.
It's
coming.
It's different.
You know what I want? I want oysters.
It's
oysters in this.
Oh, a big tray of oysters in this would be fantastic.
I'm sure Bob will be serving them up any minute.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, this one is definitely my jam. I mean, it's got the nose on it is so pretty. It's so delicate. It's so light. I'm with you. There's like that Asian pear, some maybe white,
a little more harm.
Some white flowers.
There you go. This one.
Hmm.
That's a lot of wine in front of us.
And
it's a good day.
The bitterness of the apple, you know, that bitterness had gone away. Now I'm just getting that tart green apple. I'm still getting a little bit of the citrus, but that minerality, that salinity that comes in, it reminds me of some of my favorite French champagnes. I mean, it's extremely well done.
I found it was a little bit more salty when it was cold, but it's more integrated and just balanced right now.
The salinity definitely comes out more when it's blistering cold. As it warms up, that salinity goes down, but it's still there, especially like mid palate and the tip of the palate.
Got an issue. This second pour glass is totally different. Even just sitting in the bottle warming, I let it warm in my glass, but now a second pour from the bottle, having warmed and aerated in the bottle, it's definitely more. It's just rounded off all the way around.
This is a food wine. Definitely a food wine.
I'm with him. A tray of oysters right now would be sublime.
And some mignonette. But not the horseradish and ketchup.
No. Mignonette would be perfect. Or just, honestly, just plain nothing. Just
a little squirt of lemon.
Oh, I went to this place that had some champagne mignonette.
Drop of lemon oil. Just that's it. And then just down the hatch. This would be perfect. That salinity from the oyster would pair so well with this. I wish we had oysters. Oh, well.
Well, we do live in a place we could get oysters. I'm just saying. We could chip
We're
in.
We're in South Florida.
If we chipped in.
You don't want to eat oysters down here.
we get them.
I'm pretty sure they poison you. But this one's really lovely. So we're going to be giving the Domaine Carneros Ultra Brut 2019. What are we looking at, boys?
I want to give it a higher rating, but I think Maury still likes that one better, so.
That's okay. Whatever you guys go with, I'm good.
I'd say four sips.
All right.
That's classified.
It definitely improved.
And again, just all three of them so incredibly well made. I just go back to the same thing. When I'm talking sparkling California wine, Carneros has always been one of my top ones, and they've never disappointed. They're always so solid. So.
Well, what's their Tête de Cuvée again for Carneros?
La Rêve.
La Rêve. Yeah. Oh, it's been so long since I've had La Rêve. Hint, guys. You can send us some La Rêve.
I've got some of that in my cellar. Had I realized I might have
one
to open up today.
Well, I will talk to them because we're going to be out there in January, so we'll see.
Sweet.
But they make fantastic sparkling wine, but they also make still wine. So, Harm, why don't you tell us about that one?
Thanks, Bob. The Domaine Carneros Pinot Noir Estate 2021 is 14.2% ABV, a 100% Pinot Noir, Pinot not Noir, as we say in America. The appellation is Carneros, 100% green certified, and certified fish friendly.
Fish friendly, that's awesome.
I like fish. It's perfect, because this is a wine you want with some salmon.
Ooh, yeah.
So that's kind of fish unfriendly, where we're taking and killing the fish to have with this wine.
I wish I had some salmon.
Yeah. So this expression begins in 6 sustainably certified estate vineyards, which are all located within the 4 miles of the chateau. 11 different clones of the Pinot Noir are grown, and each one contributes to its unique flavor profile and personality to make this blend. After an early morning harvest, while the grapes are still cooled and the hand-picked fruit is gently destemmed and cold-soaked, fermentation takes place in small open-top vats with punch downs, resulting in heightened color and complex flavors, which I'm going to mention later. After pressing off, the finished wine went directly into French oak barrels, 33% of which were new, where it rested for 10 months until bottling. So the color on this is a translucent ruby. You can almost read through it. More on the edges. I find this a little bit darker than I usually like my Pinot Noirs to be. So that California where they, the dirty little secret of California is they don't never make 100% Pinot Noir. This one is 100% Pinot Noir according to them though. But the color is coming from this over-extraction, or not, I mean,
extra-extraction.
I'm calling it over-extraction, but I don't think they would call it that. So this, all those punch downs are giving a lot of extraction in the color. You know, the dirty little secret of California Pinot Noir is it's never 100%. It's always Grenache or Syrah, or it's usually Syrah, a little bit of Grenache. Some people use Bonarda.
Syrah.
I won't mention names. To give that sweetness that should not belong in a Pinot Noir. But hey, it's popular. People drink it. Buy it in a grocery store. Anyway, let me get back off my high horse. Beautiful Thank color. A little highly extracted. The nose is, for me, was all about cherry and pomegranate. There's a mushroominess, that forest floor, that umami. I get a lot of great raspberry coming out as well. Publix had BOGO raspberries this past week. Mm. I've been eating a lot of raspberries, and the raspberry is definitely here.
See, that's where you went wrong. They also had prime rib on sale, so that's what I bought. Yeah. You messed up. You made an error.
My parents are vegetarian. We've been staying with them because my parents have been sick. So.
And you still talk to them?
We have to take care of them, man.
Vegetarians?
My dad's been in and out of the hospital.
That's very inconsiderate.
It is very inconsiderate to be vegetarian.
They eat my food's food.
I know.
What have I ever done to them? Why do they not like me?
So, you know, it's only 5 days out of the week I'm there. So 2 days out of the week, I'm eating meat, at least. So thank God for my wife taking care of them. I would be dead without her. But anyway, back to this.
There are many reasons why you'd be dead.
Yeah. BOGO raspberries at Publix right now, if you're down here in Florida. This is a raspberry bomb. The pomegranate's there. Again, that forest floor. Gorgeous on the nose. I could just smell this one all day. On the palate, let's try again. Tons of fruit, but intertwined with gorgeous spice. I get licorice and clove with the forest floor notes. The other thing is what really set this off for me is the texture. It's not a super high acidic wine, despite what you might think based on the nose I gave you. It's got a creamy texture. I love it. So creamy. Hints of spice, lots of fruit. You buy yourself a bottle of this. Maury, what do you think?
Well, I must admit, a lot of the Pinots I've had lately have been a little bit thin, and I love the fact that this had so much going on. I agree with you. It had that mushroomy, musty, foresty floor quality to it, a little umami. It had plenty of fruit. It definitely had lots of raspberry.
Umami. Umami.
I agree with everything you said, Harm, as much as I hate to admit it. It really has a lot going on in the glass. And like I said, a lot of the California sparkling producers have started to bottle their still Pinot. And this is a nice expression. I really enjoyed it.
I've had some really bad ones. This is not that.
No, some of them have rushed it and they're not good at it. But this is not that at all. This is really, really nice. And we'll be back.
Absolutely. As long as they're pouring wine, I'll be back. Just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view. Hey, and we're back, and we were just finishing up our thoughts on the Domaine Carneros Pinot Noir Estate 2021.
Pinot Noir, Merca.
Yeah, and as I said, you know, as far as pinots go, I thought this was a delicious California pinot. I really, really enjoyed it. It's well made. It's terrific. It's not a cab, but as far as pinots go, this is a nice full-bodied pinot and not that thin kind of wimpy pinot.
And it's not what you would expect from Domaine Carneros. That's the thing that I kind of dig about it. It's like...
How so?
How great their sparkling wines are... But then they can literally pivot 180 degrees.
Well, they're growing. I mean, world-class Pinot grapes, and this shows
exactly.
It.
But
world-class fruit.
But then turn around and make this. That's the thing.
It just shows. More difficult than you might imagine. Like I said, I've tasted some horrible still wines from California sparklers.
Exactly. I mean, you know, some don't do it well.
The California sparklers are, you know, they're serviceable. They're decent, inexpensive sparklers. They taste fine. And then they put out a Pinot Noir that tastes like what? Went wrong. Mm-hmm. What did they screw up here?
But that's not the case here. This is excellent. I mean, I'm
not allowed to name.
I get
names.
A lot of tobacco leaf. Don't I get name. That cedar. There's huge tobacco box on this.
I don't get a huge tobacco box. There's a little. Oh, bit I get this. It. You're right. I
agree. You got it, but not huge.
And then you get there's that tartness. There's that little bit of cranberry. There's a little bit of raspberry, and. Again,
I missed the cranberry. It came across as pomegranate to me.
I go back to the, you know, there's that herbal forest floor herbaceousness, that little bit of earthiness to it.
Ooh, I think mommy.
I think it's really well done. I think this is an excellent Pinot.
And absolutely. It's really improved with air. I've traditionally always been a believer of decant your Pinots. They really benefit from air.
It depends on the Pinot, but definitely stuff of this quality.
Yeah, but I find that the air always helps. It never hurts. And so if you have the time, the ability...
You're a spoiled man. No, the cheaper wines, too much air makes them turn into vinegar. You are so spoiled. You're drinking the good stuff.
No,
spoiled.
Sorry.
You idiots show up for the show. I've been setting up equipment, decanting wines for 3 hours before you get here. So,
nice.
We're going to be giving we're going to be rating the Domaine Carneros Pinot Noir Estate 2021.
And upgraded.
Well-deserved 4 sips.
Yeah.
I think it deserves the upgrade. Good job, guys.
Mm.
Bob, you want to tell us about the next winery?
Or is that my turn?
I think it's me.
Bob.
No.
All right, so...
Don't be a mic hog.
I didn't change... I was listening sort of in the meeting, but not much. I didn't change my notes.
Wait, you listen to this show?
Sometimes. In the meeting before the show.
Oh, nobody listens to
the show again.
All right, so our next winery. So Rich Frank founded the Frank Family Vineyards in 1992 and is actively involved in all aspects of the winery, from vineyard purchases to sales to marketing to hosting VIP groups into tasting rooms. Before becoming a vintner, he was the chairman of Walt Disney Television and Telecommunications and headed Disney's syndication arm, Buena Vista. So he was president of Walt Disney Studios for nearly a decade and oversaw the development of the Disney Channel. So this is a guy who knows how to run a business. The Frank family winemaker and general manager, Todd Graff, who is a graduate of the UC Davis with a degree in plant science and viticulture, came to Frank Family Vineyards in 2003. Prior to becoming the vineyard manager there and coming to Frank, he was also at Phelps Vineyards, Stag's Leaps, Schramsberg, as well as a couple of wineries in Moselle, Germany, as well as Saint-Emile in France, and Australia's Hunter Valley. He directed the construction of the Frank family's state-of-the-art winery in 2008. And he worked closely with Mr. Frank in the acquisition of the historic Wood Ranch Vineyard in Rutherford in 2012. In 2020, he was named the Napa Winemaker of the Year by the North Bay Business Journal. In 2022, he was voted the best winemaker in the Reader's Poll for the Napa Valley Life magazine.
Wow.
So,
very impressive.
Pretty cool. The funny thing is
he's got that Disney money.
Well, here's the thing. That ain't the only Disney money in the valley. There's a couple others.
I know.
I think Silverado, I think, might have some Disney money, too. So.
Yeah, but I'm not a fan of Silverado. I don't know what's going on over
there. Yeah, as opposed to this one. So the first wine we've got from them is the Frank Family Carneros Chardonnay 2022. This is 14.4% ABV, 100% Chardonnay, barrel fermented in 34% new, 33% once used, and 33% twice used French oak barrels. for 9 months with partial malolactic fermentation, with regular batonnage, which is the hand stirring of the leaves, while aging to promote depth and longevity. The fruit was sourced from the estate's own Lewis Vineyard and addition from some neighboring vineyards, including Beckstoffer Vineyards in Napa Caneros and San Giacomo Vineyards in Sonoma Caneros. So on the palate, it's got...
The color first.
Yeah, and that's what I'm looking. It's got a slight, like, straw, almost glowing, almost like slightly greenish edge to the glow to it.
I was gonna say
that I'm holding it up against a white piece of paper, and that's where I'm really noticing sort of that greenish hue.
Really not seen that before, but you're absolutely right.
It's got
right.
green glints because it's a young Chardonnay still. Yeah. It's got so much age to do, even though it's been held for 9 months in the barrel already, and it's a 2022. This is a Chardonnay you could put down for a few years.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, not common in California.
No, I agree. Most
so on the nose, I'm getting white flowers. There's a strong green apple. I'm getting a little bit of a Myers lemon to it. A little bit of vanilla. And on the palate, let's see. On the palate, nice, round, firm body to it, medium acidity. A little bit of vanilla, a little bit, almost like a...
Did you read my notes?
Like a vanilla pastry cream.
I swear you read my notes.
Cheating's allowed.
Now he's way over there on the other side of the table.
I'm over here just sort of contemplating. Yeah. This is so well done. Just so well done. I mean, there's cougar juice and there's real Chardonnay.
Yeah.
This is not cougar juice.
This is not over extracted big butter bomb with all the oak. This is
you're stealing my thunder, balanced. But it's okay. Just take my turn. Just take all my thoughts.
Is it your turn?
You're coming right into my head and just taking them right out?
Fine. Okay, you go first.
I insist. You go ahead. All right, fine. Finish your thought.
I'll do it. I it's beautiful golden with the green glints, which, again, we were talking about, means this wine is still young. I got buttered pears. Green apple.
Definitely there.
There's a hint of tropical note. I'm going like green guava, not the pink guava. But green, yellow guava, and nose vanilla.
I don't know what a green guava tastes like, but I'll take your word for it. This is delicious.
His mother didn't like him. She didn't underripe. Green
does not mean underripe. Guava comes in the yellow skin and the green skin, and the flesh can be white or pink, depending on where it's grown.
That's true.
So seeds can be really hard and break your teeth, or they can be soft and chewy. The ones I used to get in India were the pink inside. These are the green inside. These are the white. This is the white flesh guava, and not as ripe as the pink flesh guava and the vanilla. Anyway, I was lucky to have good guava when I was a kid. And sometimes down
I've met Florida, your mom, you're lucky you had food.
Yeah. Now you can't get good guava down here. What's going on?
Yeah, he's right on
you
that.
You gotta go to Indian grocery stores. Yeah. Anyway, the palate, medium acidity, just like you said, Bob. Yeah. Good weight in the mouth, though. Not overly creamy. It's so balanced.
Yeah.
It's got some malolactic, but it is not overly creamy or buttery. It's so beautifully constructed that it's not, like you said, cougar juice. It's not overly oaked. It's not overly buttery. It's just right down the middle.
So much.
All the beautiful
so
qualities.
So many of them.
It's
just like mellow, just buttery, drippy, like popcorn butter.
No, it's not that at all.
Which, look, you do what you got to do to sell a product. I get it. And people who like that.
There's a market for it. There definitely is.
Absolutely. But this is not that. This is a proper Chardonnay.
No, this is really lovely. You can taste the French oak as well as
the spice comes through.
There's definitely that
the vanilla spice. from the American and spice from the French.
Yeah. Correct. It's got a voluptuous mouthfeel. It's just delightful on the palate. For me, the finish goes all day. It's just all day. Just the finish hasn't quit.
I think they choose well doing the first third new, the second third first, once used and second use French. That second use is pretty much neutral by that point. But the oakiness is there, but it's not. It's over-oaked. Just so well balanced. There's a little bit of mallow, but not too much. There's a little bit of oak, but not too much.
See, as this one's warming up, the oak is becoming more prominent. I think I liked it a little bit colder than it is.
Yeah, it is definitely coming out the more warm it gets.
I think I liked it a little bit when it was a little more cold. Mm-hmm. And at this point, the wine's a little bit too warm now.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Take a fresh pour. It's right in front of you. So.
Where's the bottle?
No, I disagree. I'm enjoying the extra oak that's coming out. It's fun to watch it evolve in the glass. I think it's delicious. It's so well made. You know, Frank Family is a little underrated, but their wines are very well made, and I've always enjoyed them.
All right. Well, we're going to be giving the Frank Family Carnera Chardonnay 2022 a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that brings us to the Cabernet Sauvignon.
Thank you, Bob. The next wine is the Frank Family Napa Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. Comes in at 14.5% ABV. It is 87% Cabernet Sauvignon, 6% Merlot, 5% Petit Verdot, and 2% Cabernet Franc. It's aged 20 months in 33% new and 67% once and twice filled French oak barrels. There's a theme there. Sourced primarily from their estate, S&J Vineyard in Napa's Capwell Valley, and their Benjamin Vineyard located on the valley floor and in the heart of Rutherford. Additional vineyard sources include neighboring Quarry Vineyard and Round Pond Estate in both Rutherford, as well as Deloise and Shooting Star Vineyard located in Napa Valley.
I haven't had a Round Pond forever either. That's another good one.
This wine has a deep, dark, brooding, purple, inky color. It's got a really inviting nose, very classic California Cabernet. On the palate, it's voluptuous, it's delicious, it's got mouth-coating feels. It's a classic California Napa Cabernet. You've got notes of tobacco and licorice and spice and old leather. It's mouth-coating. It has a beautiful medium to long finish. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was extremely well-made. Harm, what did you think?
Did you say mouth coating? I thought you said like 4 times. Anyway, so I got cassis, vanilla, cherry, black cherry, herbs, and it's got a really nice medium tannins. It is really nice, very well made, medium long finish. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
It's beautiful.
Good.
And again, I think a great value. Their wines are value priced. They're not cheap, but they are not expensive. They're not overpriced.
Well, that's the thing I've always liked about Frank is they're very well priced for the quality you get. They're great wines.
Well priced for the quality.
We're going to be giving the Frank Family Napa Cabernet Sauvignon 2021 a well-deserved 4 sips, guys.
That's 2 for 2.
Great job. Yeah.
Good job,
guys. So that's going to bring us to our next one. We're going to have Harm tell us about that one quickly because we're running out of time.
Okay, so thanks, Bob. Sullivan Rutherford Estate was founded by James O'Neill Sullivan in 1972 after acquiring the 26-acre Rutherford property from the Garon family in 1978. He planted Cabernet Sauvignon Merlot vines on the advice of legendary winemaker Andre Chelyshev. James Sullivan worked with celebrated architect John Marsh Davis, known as the most acclaimed representative of the Frank Lloyd Wright aesthetic, to design the vineyard and the vineyard home and production facility. The structure is a unique architectural jewel built with a geometric precision. Concentric circles were used to place the structure on the property and a cardinal representation. The house is perfectly oriented north-south. Winemaker Jeff Cole earned a degree in wine and viticulture from California Polytechnic State University in San Luis Obispo. He worked with Schramsberg and J. Davis Vineyards prior to coming to Sullivan Rutherford Estate in 2013. He became head winemaker in 2015. Our only wine from them today is the Sullivan Rutherford Estate Coeur d'Avine, Heart of the Vine in 2021, 14.8 ABV, 80% Cabernet Sauvignon, 14% Merlot, 6% Petit Verdot. It's Napa Appellation, aged for 20 months and 60% new French oak. The wine is a number 75 in the 2024 Wine Spectator for Top 100 Wines. The color is absolutely beautiful, opaque garnet with clear to violet rims. So showing it's still got a lot of youth. The nose. Now, this wine was double decanted. Oh, we're losing time. This wine was triple decanted because I had to do another decantation to get the air in. Plum, blackberry, blueberry, firm tannins, huge. Bring me a steak. Do we have time for anybody else to talk about
this? I agree with you. I thought it was voluptuous, delicious, amazing. Really my favorite wine of the day. I thought it was extremely well made, very well balanced. A classic California Napa Valley Cabernet. Loved it.
I can't really add more to that. I mean,
because we don't have time. Because there's only three of us and we still took too long.
Yeah, I know. Well, we've had great wines and this one was fantastic.
There's a lot to say.
So, number 75. So, number 75 on the top 100 wines of the year in Wine Spectator. So, you can't beat it. Sullivan Rutherford Estate Cardo Bean 2021. Five sips. Good work.
Oh, my goodness.
So that takes us to our last one, which is our Dariush Cabernet Sauvignon 2021 25th anniversary release. We're going to go really fast on this. 15.4% ABV. This is their 25th anniversary release. Absolutely fantastic wine. Black cherries, dark berries, cedar on the nose. Huge mouthfeel. It's like chewing a piece of meat. What'd you think,
Maury? Tannins here are not the silky ones.
No, this is definitely a much more chewy wine, a bigger, bolder expression. Goes great with a chewy steak. Loved it.
This one is, again, it's Dariush. We've never had one from Dariush that wasn't fantastic. Everything we've ever had from Dariush has been fantastic. But I think they did an amazing job with this. This one required triple decantation and aeration. But once we got
this
thing going.
We're drinking these young.
Yeah, we should have the snot knocked out of us for drinking them this early, but between this and the Sullivan, I'm the happiest guy in the room.
There you go. Thank you for getting these first.
Absolutely the happiest guy in the room. Dariush, five sips.
Oh my goodness! Yeah.
I'm just sorry we got long-winded and had to rush the last two, but again, Sullivan, grab it if you can. But Dariush, grab it if you can. So, gentlemen, it's been a pretty good day.
Not bad.
Thanks for having me in the basement today. Really nice.
I'm glad I only have to share this bottle with a couple of you other heathens.
Yeah, the basement did not stink today. I think we did quite well.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions,
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.